You're listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast, where private practice and motherhood collide. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajiz, and here's the deal. I'm not here to give you fluff or hustle culture advice. I'm here to give you strategy to build a private practice on your terms, while naming the hard stuff about motherhood and the broken systems we're stuck navigating. If you're ready for honest, practical, and unapologetic conversations, you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Let's take a moment to talk about today's episode sponsor, Jane, a practice management software and EHR I use to help keep things running smoothly behind the scenes. When I first started looking for a practice management tool, I wanted something that felt like a partner in my practice, not just more tech to figure out, which is why I switched to Jane. One of the things I love most about Jane, their support team. I've used other EHR systems before, and Jane's customer service is truly like none other. You get unlimited help from real humans, even on Saturdays, by phone, email, or chat, all at no extra cost. It's easy to learn about Jane in your own time, too. Jane's guides are packed with helpful tips and updates, and it's always growing. And maybe best of all, Jane has a wonderful community of practitioners, so even if you're running a solo practice, you don't have to feel like you're doing it alone. If you're curious about what Jane can do for your practice, use the link in the show notes to book a free demo. And if you're ready to get started, be sure to use my code ASHLEY1MO for a 1 month grace period on your new account. Welcome to this week's episode of the Therapist Mom Podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about something that if you're on social media, you've probably seen it recently being talked about as far as certain platforms go, but we're going to be talking about venture-backed capital platforms like Headway and Alma and using those kind of platforms to build your practice versus directly building it on your own and credentialing with insurance plans on your own. I have seen this play out with a lot of therapists that I have worked with who they want to start a private practice and they're already exhausted, right, in the work that they're currently doing, right? There's a reason why they want to leave their current job. They're feeling overwhelmed by the thought of leaving and also starting something new. And they're like, I don't have time. I want clients and I want someone to just tell me what to do. And so they may talk to a colleague or they may receive basically like a headhunter that says, hey, you should check out this platform. You should check out Headway or Grow or Alma or BetterHelp, and that they will handle everything. And so, you know, they talk to the either representative or they talk to somebody else who's had a good experience with them. And right, it sounds good because they're told that you can, you know, start seeing clients right away. You can get credentialed usually within 30 days with insurance companies and that they're going to feed you referrals and you're going to have a full caseload, right? And so this feels very, very enticing. And a lot of providers go this direction. And especially for those who are saying, I want to take insurance in my practice, this feels like a no-brainer in many ways, right? Somebody else is going to do the credentialing for me. Then like, why wouldn't I do that? But I think if we take a step back for those who do go that direction and who are saying, I want to take insurance, underneath of that decision, I think to go with a platform oftentimes is fear, right? It's a fear specifically of, can I do this on my own, especially when it comes to insurance? Can I credential on my own? Can I bill on my own? Because like insurance has a bad rap because it is like the US health insurance system is just messed up. And we were not really trained to navigate that in our work. And it is overwhelming at times, right? And it feels like I don't have time to figure this out. So when a platform like BetterHelp, like Alma, like, you know, some other company is saying, I'll do this for you, why wouldn't I go that way? But there is something that I think that is definitely happening right now in this field, in this world of like these, you know, venture capital backed platforms that we need to talk about. Because therapists who said they want to go quote unquote easy, and I'm not saying that it is simply easy, but they're like, this sounds easier, right? Who went the easier route of going with a platform are now actually facing some real consequences. And I want you to understand what the potential consequences of going this direction are before you make this decision. Now, before I dive in, I want to make it very clear from the get-go that this episode is not me telling you to never use one of these platforms. I have used them in the past. I have used them for a variety of different reasons throughout the 10 years that I have been in private practice. And I think there is a case to be made for certain circumstances that it does make sense to say, yeah, I do want to start with a platform. But I want to make sure in this episode that you actually know what you are agreeing to and getting yourself into if you do decide to go that route. Because I've seen a lot of therapists who have signed up saying, this is awesome. I can have my own practice without really fully understanding the trade-off or what's on the other side of that. And with recent events that have happened with Alma, it's important to look at, like, in real life, what does that trade-off look like? So, when I talk about platforms, this is what I mean. I'm talking about businesses like Headway or Alma or Growth Therapy. There are a ton of these out there now, right? And what these tend to be is they are a venture capital backed company that sits between you and an insurance company. So, it's pretty much like you are part of a group practice. And what they promise for in exchange for you joining their platform is we will handle the credentialing, we will handle the billing, we will do the claims processing. They promise referrals a lot of times to their platforms. Like if you sign up with them, we will, be getting referrals to you, and that they make a lot of times a promise that they will fill your caseload. They often will talk about, or not just talk about, they will provide like their own EHR system so that you can use. And a lot of times they offer a higher reimbursement rate than if you say like you credentialed individually with an insurance plan. But in exchange, there is a cost, right? There are several different models. Each of them does it a little bit differently. But a lot of times what ends up happening is they're going to take a percentage of your reimbursement that they get to set the terms on, right? So some of them are you don't pay anything up front to be a part of their platform, but then when you do get reimbursed, they're taking a chunk of that reimbursement. So they're giving you your EHR, they're giving you your telehealth platform, they're doing your credentialing, but they're taking a lot of that money. There are other models where you pay like a monthly fee, but then you're getting the whole reimbursement rate. So it really does vary platform to platform how it plays out. But the reality is that these are businesses and companies that are basically the middleman between you as the provider and the insurance company. They're a lot of times marketed and targeted at therapists who are overwhelmed by insurance or by building a private practice, right? Like I've seen some of the marketing around, like, you can't do this on your own, so let us do it for you. And it's a lot of times positioned as this quote unquote easier way to say, like, accept insurance or even, grow or build a private practice. And so they really do promote and market from that angle that it is too hard to go out on your own. And they really do kind of pitch it from this, like, sense of, like, we will handle it. We will take care of it all, and we will fill your caseload. So, when we're talking about platforms, when we're talking about venture capital backed platforms, that's what I'm referencing here, right? And again, this is not me saying one is bad, one is good, anything like that, but it's just understanding what is the structure of these and how does this work and how does it impact you as a provider. So, if you've been paying attention through social media or maybe even some emails that like you're on email lists that have gone out in the last couple of weeks, there's something that has happened with Alma and Aetna. Now, Alma is one of these platforms that is venture capital backed and does operate as that kind of in between the providers and the insurance company. So, last week, Alma providers received an email that Aetna, which is one of the insurance companies that Alma contracts with, the Aetna was going to be changing their reimbursement structure to Alma. So the insurance company Aetna told Alma that we will no longer reimburse for what they are calling a quote unquote extended session. This is what we typically know as the 90837, the 1 hour appointment. It has to be a minimum 53 minutes in order to bill that. And this is the session like the majority of us use, right? Some of us may offer like a 45 minute session, but it is really hard to, I think, accomplish and have the deep therapeutic relationship and work that you need in 45 minutes. I mean, the reality is we could go longer than 60, right? That's why we do, and there are people who do intensives. But Aetna is telling Alma, Oklahoma, we are no longer going to be paying for a 90837. So you can have that session, but we are only going to be reimbursing providers or to Alma for the rate of a 45-minute session. Now, this may not like sound that different, but for providers, it can be up to a difference of $30 a session, changing from a 53-minute to a 45-minute. That's a big rate change, taking $30 an hour away. Alma was told this by Aetna that this week, and this email went out to providers May 20th. This change is set to happen July 15th. And so therapists really are in a position where they can't really do anything about it, right? Alma got hit with this change, and therefore therapists are told like this is what it is. There's no ability to negotiate, no warning. Like there's not like, well, I would like to, ask, Aetna to reconsider. Like there's nothing that individual providers can do. Now, Alma has said that they do disagree with this and that they are fighting to try to negotiate with Aetna because like this is not normal. This is the insurance companies trying to tell us therapists how we're supposed to operate. But this is why it's important to understand that when you are joining platforms like Alma, like Headway, like Grow, you are on a contract with Alma. You're not contracted with Aetna, the insurance company, directly. Alma has the direct payer relationship. So when Aetna, the insurance company, says, we are going to change the terms of our contract, the deal is with Alma. And then that flows down to you as the provider, right? You have no seat at the table. You don't get to say, well, I would like to request a rate change, or I would like to request a reconsideration, or I would like to have, a conversation about this. Alma is trying to advocate for providers. So again, this is not knocking Alma. They had no say in this, but this is the reality that providers have no recourse, right? And so for therapists who are on this platform who have clients with Aetna, who this is maybe their main source of income, they're now waking up knowing that in less than 2 months, their sessions that they probably already had scheduled are going to be cut significantly, right? Like they're going to be losing $30 an hour. That's a lot, and there's nothing they can do about it, right? There are now clients who are not going to be able to use their insurance for their regular session length because there are going to be a lot of providers that are leaving Alma. And so this happened without any kind of heads up. There was not like there's not really a transition period. I mean, yes, there's 2 months, but like that's not that long of a time, right? And so there's no recourse that providers really have when they are working through a platform, right? And so when we talk about or like what I call like platform risks, this is what I mean, right? There are the risks of being on a platform because you don't have ownership of that contract with that insurance company. And then there's other risks, right, too. So I think a lot of times when providers are signing up with these platforms, they may not know this, right? They may not know the ins and outs of how this works, but they are then at the whim and the mercy of when something like this unfolds, finding out too late, right? So there are hidden costs of, using a venture capital backed platform that I think is important for providers to recognize, right? One that we just talked about is rate cuts that like you have no recourse, right? The platform is who negotiates on behalf of all providers. Whatever the platform is going to get back from that insurance company is what you get. And so if the platform is like, well, yes, we will accept a change in the rate, you are going to be the one to absorb that change. You don't get to negotiate because you don't have a seat at that table. And so because of that, you don't have a direct payer relationship, right? So when there are claim denials, when there's questions about, coverage or billing disputes, the platform, it goes through them. And I know a lot of them do handle that, but I've also heard stories of providers saying like it wasn't handled the right way. And because I'm not directly connected or credentialed with the insurance company, I don't have the ability to go back and ask for a change or a reversal of a denial because they're not dealing with the insurance company directly. And so that adds a layer and removes your ability to advocate for yourself. We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter comprehensive connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/comp connecting. One of the other big things to just remind yourself of is when you are with these platforms, they take a percentage, right? So again, they may say, we'll give you all of this for free, but they're going to be taking a significant chunk of your reimbursement, sometimes up to 20 to 30% of that reimbursement rate. And that is money that is meaningful over time, right? Especially if you are accepting rates on the lower end, then that's a big chunk of money that you're not getting. And again, these are marketed as if this is a great way for you to have your whole practice. But the question I would have is like the amount of money that you're giving up to these venture capital backed companies that is not ending up in your pocket, like would that be that much different, or would it be a big difference if you had that money in your pocket and you were paying for your own EHR, your own systems, that kind of thing? You may actually be ending up pocketing more money than if they just took that chunk. One of the other things that I don't think a lot of people realize, and I've seen people who have been with these platforms that say, now I want to go out and do my own practice, do something on my own, is that they don't realize that their credentialing, when they are credentialed with an insurance plan through these platforms, that credentialing doesn't come with them, right? So they think, I'm going to go now, I want to go start my own practice. And so because essentially you are credentialed with that insurance company through a group practice, that group practice, i.e. the platform, continues to hold that contract. So if you leave, you have to start the credentialing process all over again, which again, I'm not saying that's a reason to stay on the platforms, but if you're saying, I want to get off of this and I want to go do something on my own, the longer you wait to get off of them, the longer it is going to take to get that insurance credentialing on your own started and to be ready to take insurance in your own individual practice. And I think when we are talking about like venture capital backed companies, it's important to understand what that model is, right? That these are companies that have investors, right? When they are looking at how do we provide our service, how do we provide our product, they are optimizing for scale and return on their investments. They are not like looking at your income stability. So fee splits, you know, which insurance companies that they're going to work with, their policies, their platforms, those are all subject to change because they are going to do that to maintain their bottom line. And those changes are going to happen without your consent. Venture capital backed companies are growth focused, right? They are focused on how much money can we generate in our business to earn money back in the business for our investors. And so the business model of these requires them to expand, to acquire or exit out of contracts or out of negotiations or buyers. And so your reimbursement rate that you're going to be getting is just a line item in a spreadsheet that they have, right? And I'm not saying this to be like, to be mean or like malicious, but this is just the reality that like what you are going to be putting in your pocket to pay your bills, to, pay for daycare, to keep your roof over your house, they don't care about that. They are trying to make sure that their company is profitable and that their investors are happy. So again, this, I am not trying to villainize these companies. I have my own opinions about them, but this is not what this is about. Again, I think there is a time and place that they can be beneficial in certain circumstances. But I hate that so many of us join these platforms based out of fear. Fear that we cannot do this on our own. Fear that the only way to not be overwhelmed or to be able to take insurance is if one of these companies does it for us. And especially when it comes to insurance and credentialing, there is a lot of overwhelm, right? The paperwork is real. The wait time is real, right? There are some plans that it can take like 90 days and upwards to like be fully credentialed. And so starting from scratch, like starting out on your own without a roadmap can be really, really hard. But there's a distinction that I want you to consider, right? Hard is not the same thing as impossible. And I think we get so stuck in fear sometimes that when we feel like this is hard, we shy away from it because it feels like it's too much, right? And something being unfamiliar, which let's be honest, like credentialing with insurance is unfamiliar, doesn't mean that it's not out of reach, doesn't mean that it's not possible. A lot of the fear that I see is based on people's story that, people can get credentialed with insurance, but not you, right? Like that they were able to do it. But it's too hard, I can't do it. And so then that mindset, that story, I see keeps therapists on platforms longer than it really makes sense for their business, right? But when you decide to direct credential with an insurance company to have your own practice, to do this on your own, it's your name on that payer contract. You get to see the fee schedules before you agree to participate. You get to call and appeal and advocate directly when something goes wrong. And if a rate change, like if that's happening, you are notified, right? Not the platform who then trickles it down to you. And the reality is, like when you are credentialing with an insurance company, you do this one time. Once you are credentialed directly, you are credentialed unless you decide to remove yourself from that platform. Yes, there is recredentialing. I have done all the credentialing for myself. When I was in a group practice, I did it for all the providers in the group practice. And so, but once you are credentialed, all you have to do is recredential every few years. And but that part is not nearly as hard as the initial credentialing. That initial process, once you get through that, you own that relationship with that insurance company. And there are more resources out there than you think, right? There are companies that will help with billing. There are, virtual assistants who specialize in like credentialing for therapists or, mental health providers. There are courses and communities. Kim Tolson has a great course to help walk you through, being your own biller. There are colleagues who have done this who are happy to share what they've learned. I have done it myself, like I said, for myself and my practice, and I've helped other providers with that. I've worked with them in my one-on-one coaching to do their own credentialing. So there are people and resources out there that will help you to have more in your own pocket and own your credentialing process and own your own contracts with these companies. And so the reality is, though, like it does take a few months. And so that is an argument not to say I'm not going to do it, but to say start sooner than later. If you are saying I want to accept insurance in 6 months, you need to start that process now. There can be overlap, right? You can still stay on a platform while you are credentialed with that platform and then work on starting your own credentialing process with those insurance companies so that when you're ready to leave that platform, you're ready to go with those insurance plans. I know when it comes to insurance, it feels hard. And I know when it comes to building your own practice, it feels really scary. But I'm going to just say this, that you have already done harder things than this. You went to grad school, you've passed your licensure exams, you have navigated supervision hours while working, maybe even, caregiving. And so learning the credentialing process is a skill that you can build. And it's not like a quality that like, oh, well, this person has and I don't. It is something that you can learn and grow. So I want to be like honest and fair here, right? That like if you are brand new, if you have no support, and if you need clients quickly, a platform can be that bridge, right? I'm not saying not to consider it, but if you're saying I want to be able to start putting some money in my pocket so that I have that savings to be able to leave my full-time job, that may be a way to do that. But I don't want that to be your forever home. I want you to view that as like this is a bridge to me now going out on my own eventually. If you are going with one of these platforms, just go in very clear-eyed and understanding that you are trading control for convenience, right? So you don't control it, but it is much more convenient. And that you're building an infrastructure that someone else owns, right? That like when you leave that platform, if you are getting referrals through them, you're not going to continue to get them that way, right? You're going to have to build your own marketing systems and strategies. You're going to have to build your own EHR systems, those kinds of things. So I think if you are deciding, I want to go with one of these platforms, to have an exit plan from the beginning. What do I want to get out of this time to be able to look towards how am I going to go out and do this on my own? Don't let the platform be the only way that you access insurance clients, right? You can use it strategically if you use it at all, right? And you can start the direct credentialing process as soon as you're able to. My goal for you is to own your own relationship with the insurance companies, with those payers, not to basically like rent access to them through these platforms. I think it's important to remember that like what has happened with Alma and Aetna was always a possibility. Like this is not a surprise. This is not a fluke. This is not like, oh, just random bad luck. This was going to happen eventually. And this is the reality of building your income through a third-party platform. This is going to happen again, whether it's with Alma or with another platform, it's going to happen again. And that these platforms are not the only way to be able to have a relationship with an insurance payer and to take insurance in your practice. The fear around credentialing is real, but it's not a good reason to just say, I'm not going to do it. There is a learning curve, but it's not going to be forever. And so when you are able to work through that and get to the other side of this, you have control. If you've listened to this show before, if you followed me on social media, I am all about owning your own practice, owning your assets, having control where you can. And I want your practice to be yours because it should be yours, right? Your payer relationships should be yours. Your fee negotiations, the opportunity to negotiate fees should be yours. Your client contracts should be yours. Your marketing assets, your EHRs, your tools, those should be yours. And so when we talk about building a sustainable practice, that's what it actually looks like, is you owning all the parts of your business. And so if you are on a platform and this is making you nervous, like don't say, well, I need to just go get off of this today, right? You don't have to blow up everything tomorrow, but you can start building towards like more direct control now in your business. Look at what is one step that you can do to start saying, I am going to be moving off of these platforms by this time, and what are the steps I need to do to get there? And so if you are trying to figure out like the insurance side of building a practice, what to accept, how to credential, how to structure your fees, that is something we get into inside my course Built to Run. This course walks you through building a private practice that really does fit your life and through all the different pieces that you need to build the foundation of your practice, your business, your insurance pieces without feeling overwhelmed or kind of starting like completely over again later on down the line. There will be a link to this course in the show notes, but you may also like already have a practice and you're trying to figure out like a specific insurance strategy, or whether maybe you've started the credentialing process and you're like, I am not sure where to go. That's where I also offer a one-on-one clarity and strategy coaching sessions. We sit down together, we look at where you actually are, what are your struggles, what are the specific things that I can support you in and help either do for you or build a strategy around, and we build and plan specific to your situation. You can head to raisedempower.com to learn more about that there, or also check out the link in the show notes. If you are ready to build a practice, it's not as hard as you think. And with the right support and tools and resources, you absolutely can do it without a venture capital backed company. I believe in you. I want you to believe in you. And so if this is something that you are considering or struggling with, I'd love to hear where you're at. You can hit me up either on Instagram at Raised Empower. You can also reach out to me through my website, but I'd love to know where you are in this process. And if you know somebody else who's like wrestling with this, share this episode with them, because I don't think that this is talked about enough. And I want to make sure, again, it's not about like, don't do this thing, but I want to make sure as many providers who are considering these options understand what that looks like on the other side. I want to thank you so much for being with me here today, and I will see you back here next week. Thanks for listening to the Therapist Mom Podcast. If today's episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to share it with another therapist mom who needs it. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And if you'd leave a 5-star review, it helps more therapist moms find the space. For resources and ways to work with me, head to raisetoempower.com and check the show notes for all links mentioned today. I'll see you back here next week.